Well, thank you. Bueno, yo creo que es...
I think this debate obviously needs much more time. We don't have much time to debate such important issues. And I would begin by commenting on the fact that, well, the right to development should be under normal conditions, shall we say, it should gain new momentum given the dramatic experience we've had with the pandemic. But I don't think that's going to be the case, unfortunately. I think that the impact of the pandemic on international relations has not enabled us to move beyond the correlation of forces and the way certain debates take place. On the contrary, if you look at the Naomi Klein concept, that Canadian journalist who says that the shock policy, when you have something like a pandemic that affects us all, that leaves us in shock, that shock is weaponized by the hegemonic forces who have the power to accelerate their own projects. So it's not something natural. It's not natural that we're now going to suddenly see a world of solidarity and that we will all fight inequality together. No. And rather, what we've seen is the acceleration of certain systematic attacks on human and environmental rights around the world. Certain populations have less protection than before. I mentioned here yesterday that 159 countries have ratified and increased the pressure of austerity policies during this period against, despite the clamour for the need for much more far-reaching, comprehensive, coherent social protection policies to bring them more. So what we've seen instead is the persistence of a stance which in truth negates rights in their scope, and therefore the theme of equality continues to be a theme where there is much indifference. And it's even sort of contaminated a lot of our discourse, a lot of our debates. You know, the use of the category vulnerable, that bothers me greatly. The vulnerable, that was a construction in the context of the hegemonic framework, which moved the debate on development onto development on poverty as a central concept of social policies, and has laid as a political basis construction of emancipated political subjects as subjects of law, and it substituted it with a broad range of conditions where people are now beneficiaries of programs of mitigation, impact mitigation programs of the systemic production of inequality and poverty. So sadly, I don't think this is going to change with the pandemic. On the contrary, exclusion has accelerated. Changing the category that we're seeing at this debate, the idea of decolonizing this debate, is in the interest of the Global South and is in the interest of the qualitative advancement of the whole debate on sustainable development. What's more, solidarity is when one person shares with another what he misses. Charity is donating what you have more of, and that's what we're speaking of. For one lot buys up the whole vacuum and then sells it to everyone else. That's what's sort of happening now. On the other hand, Cuba and China are making efforts to establish and materialize the ideas of establishing of approaching things from a much more universal angle. So I think this debate on development should boost this idea of human rights based on development, based on the right to existence, based on the reality of all these rights. And I think that this projection of a more demanding debate, which deconstructs epistemical constructs and epistemical constructs that we've heard in this debate, is extremely urgent, because otherwise we will not move forward. As a doctor, by the way, what bothers me greatly from a bioethic terms is that this epistemic injustice, in addition to other injustices, including the absence of policies of truth based on persons' needs, and instead you have the perpetuation of these insufficient programs rather than universalist programs within countries, at least in the majority of countries, and you also have injustice which denies access to information which people need for their existence, but that access is always impeded in favor of a program sort of form of information. And ever since colonial times, we have tried to respond to the guarantees of universal aspects, universal health, but it's always been limited to those segments of the population of which are of interest to the economic powers. Now, and therefore, we have insufficient infrastructure since, and as Susan Marx called it, she spoke of a planned misery. That's all we're given, particularly in the global south, and it's with great difficulty. It's very difficult, therefore, to marshal resources in a sovereign form to bridge those deficits and establish those systems of social response which are so necessary. And as Karl Polanyi said, it's necessary to reinsert the economy in the social life for the benefit of people, which means a structural change in how, sadly, hegemonically, financial capital imposes its interests, particularly on dimensions including social policy. Therefore, restoring the centrality of the debate on development as a project of solidarity, a project of great scope, that means recovering also the centrality that places in its right due place the struggle against poverty, not just as a struggle against poverty per se, but rather as addressing the very matrix of economic policy of production, a distribution of riches as a key element. Now, if this crisis allows us to move in that direction, that would be very positive. But my fear, and I speak as a doctor, that I see that what we're seeing this sort of pandemic, this global endemic, where each country is left to sort of fend for itself, is a grave concern. And therefore, I'd like to leave it on that note for those that are with us today.